This episode is brought to you by Curie Briefs, the smartest 3-minute read in medicine. Think of it like mental floss for busy clinicians. Sharp, concise, and clinically relevant. Check it out today at Curie.md. And now, on to the show. There are two of the most feared words in medicine, glioblastoma multiforme. It's the most aggressive primary brain cancer we know, fast-growing, relentlessly recurrent, and tragically resistant to standard treatment. Median survival after recurrence is just 6 to 8 months. Fewer than 5% of patients make it to the 5-year mark. But for the first time in decades, there's a crack in the armor. And it's coming from a place few expected, CAR T-cell therapy. Or in this episode of Curie, we're diving deep into the promising but early data emerging from two recent trials, one from Massachusetts General Hospital and the other from the University of Pennsylvania. These studies are raising cautious hope that engineered immune cells might finally offer a foothold against one of oncology's most unyielding foes. Let's start with the basics. CAR T therapy, or chimeric antigen receptor T cell therapy, involves harvesting a patient's own T cells, reprogramming them to recognize cancer-specific antigens, and then reinfusing them to mount a targeted immune attack. It's transformed care for certain blood cancers. Think relapsed leukemia or lymphoma, but has struggled in solid tumors. Glioblastoma, with its immune-privileged environment, physical barriers like the blood-brain barrier and notoriously heterogeneous cell populations, has proven especially difficult. That's why these new studies drew so much attention at the American Society of Clinical Oncology meeting. At Mass General, Dr. Brian Choi and his team treated 10 patients with recurrent glioblastoma using CAR T cells engineered to target a mutation in the epidermal growth factor receptor, a protein found in some glioblastoma tumors, but not in normal brain tissue. 7 of the 10 patients have survived longer than 8 months. A benchmark rarely seen in this setting, one patient remains in remission more than 2 years post-treatment. Our PEN researchers, led by Dr. Donald O'Rourke, ran a similar protocol but used a different construct. Of 18 patients enrolled, 13 had measurable tumors at the time of infusion. 8 of those showed evidence of tumor regression, and 1 had a greater than 50% reduction in tumor volume. While nearly all eventually experienced recurrence, these results suggest a degree of tumor sensitivity that was previously elusive. But what's different this time? One factor is dosing strategy. Both studies used multiple infusions of CAR T cells, an approach that may help maintain pressure on the tumor and account for variable antigen expression. 7 of the 10 Mass General patients received repeat infusions. The Penn group took it a step further by incorporating a novel RNA-based CAR construct that could be administered repeatedly without integrating into the patient's genome. The Penn trial also benefited from sponsorship by Kite Pharma, which provided the manufacturing backbone for rapid cell engineering and delivery. This highlights another important theme. While the science is moving fast, logistical infrastructure is just as critical in translating these treatments to patients with a very limited window for intervention. Now, we should be clear, these are small early phase studies. Traditional markers like overall survival and progression-free survival are not yet mature. In the Penn study, the median progression-free survival was just 1.9 months. But the fact that any patient is alive 2 years after a recurrence diagnosis is remarkable and demands attention. Of course, we also have to contend with glioblastoma's most frustrating trait, its adaptability. Even when CAR T cells are effective, tumors often recur through antigen loss, immune suppression, or physical barriers. Researchers are now exploring strategies like multi-segment CARs, armored T cells resistant to suppression, and direct intracranial delivery to bypass the blood-brain barrier altogether. Another major challenge? Patient selection. Not all glioblastomas express the EGFRVII mutation targeted in the Mass General study. And antigen heterogeneity means even within a single tumor, some cells may be missed. That raises questions about how to design trials, manage expectations, and ethically allocate an expensive and resource-intensive therapy. Despite these hurdles, experts across the field are cautiously optimistic. Dr. Graham Woodworth, a neurosurgeon at the University of Maryland, not involved in either study, summed it up best. Both of the studies are exciting to me. They show signs that the treatments are active in the patients. That's a low bar in most diseases, but in glioblastoma, it's a beacon. There's also an emotional undertone to this research. As Dr. Choi put it, we're filled with complete bewilderment at how well some patients are doing. This disease hasn't had an answer. His team is now scrambling to understand why some patients respond so dramatically while others do not. That mystery will define the next phase of research. So what does this mean for healthcare professionals on the front lines? First, it's a signal that the solid tumor barrier in CAR-T may be starting to crack. Second, it underscores the importance of clinical trial awareness, especially for patients with limited options. And third, it's a call to support the infrastructure from lab to bedside that makes these breakthroughs possible. Glioblastoma isn't cured, but for the first time in a long time, it feels like it might be vulnerable. One patient, 2 years, three institutions pushing the frontier, and a therapy that might finally be turning the tide one cell at a time. You've been listening to Curie. For more episodes like this, visit us at curie.md, where you'll find concise medical news, smart audio explainers, and quick games designed for curious clinicians. See you next time.